he went over to see our land. They had such a good time. Going back there, talking about all that mischief.
Yeah. Oh, I told you about the
guy in the smokestacks, isn't it?
The smokestacks.
On the stoop. Oh, I was visiting Outland overnight, and a fella came in to Mrs. Outland was having these kind of curtains put up, you know. And fella came in that night. He worked somewhere in the daytime, was doing that kind of putting those things up at night. And I was there, and Outland didn't know him quite as well as his wife did. His wife had been dealing with him. But Outland knew him casually. So I was there, and when the fella came to do that work, and Outland introduced me to him, and says, "Boy and I," says, "were in the First World War together," and some. And he says, "Well, I was in the First World War too." "You are?" And says, "Well, what were you in?" He says, "Well, I was in the Navy, I reckon it wasn't with me." Yeah. And he said, "Did you get to France?" "Well," he said, "I got to the coast, but I never got inside of France." And he said, "'Cause I was on the boat going back and forth, hauling the soldiers over." He said, "What boat were you on?" "Well, I was on the Von Steuben." "Well, Outland said, well, boy and I both went over the Von Steuben. We went over together on the same trip, but we didn't know each other then. We got acquainted afterwards." And he says, "Well, that one of them says, why? One of them says, and Von Steuben was right past ship." He said, "He had to go over in a convoy of two." Well, we were talking to him about that, and going over in the convoy and of two smaller, slower ships. And when we got into the danger zone, they had to go this that way and change speed all the time and go this way. On account of, and he said, "Yes," says, "What was the name of the boat you're on?" "Von Steuben." He said, "Von Steuben?" "Well," I said, "I went over on the Von Steuben." Said, "I was working in the engine room." And how was that? "I was working in the engine room." He said, "I very seldom carry that up on deck." And we were talking about one thing or another, and let's see, I think Outland said, "Von Steuben had four stacks." He said, Von Steuben only had three stacks. And Outland says, I said, "Boy, they need to have four stacks?" And I said, "I think so, but I said, I'm, Outland was a railroad man. You notice things like that more than I would." And I said, "I can't say for sure, but I think you're right. I think," and the fellow said, "No, sir." He said, "I worked down there in the engine room and they only had three stacks." And I said, "Wait a minute, boys." And I had photograph album, you know. And I says, "I'm pretty sure that Von Steuben is in that book." And Mrs. Outland had been looking at it, and Ralph called to his wife to bring the book out in the front room. Brought the book out and opened up, and there was four stacks. But a man was about ready to drop through the floor. And he shook his head and shook his head, and then he finally, it came to him. He says, "One of those stacks," I remember now, "one of those stacks was a dummy." And it says, "They put that fourth stack up there. It was a German ship, you see. It had another name. We named it Von Steuben because he was a Revolutionary War on the American side, you know, Von Steuben was. And although it's a German sound name, and it had another name before that, but it was a German ship." And so that settled the whole thing. And the fellow says, "Well, by golly," says, "you're right." He says, I got the photograph out of him and showed it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that stumped him for a minute until he could figure out what had happened.
One was a dummy. Why did they feel that it was necessary to have a dummy stack? I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, I don't know. They didn't want the Germans to know it was their own ship.
Oh.
I can't figure it out myself, but it was, they didn't want Germans to identify it. And, I did going over on that boat. I did guard duty all the time. They put the Marines on guard duty, and I had a regular post, I think it was, just about 10, 12 feet wide with a telescope. And when we got in the danger zone, about two-thirds over, I reckon it was, across the Atlantic, when we got in the danger zone, we had to keep a constant outlook for submarines, German submarines, because it was supposed to be lousy with submarines. And I had a big telescope on a tripod, and I had to do an hour at a time, I think, maybe it was a half hour. Every 8 hours and 24. And I had to be looking through that all the time for the whole area that covered. Otherwise, somebody's eye was on the water as far as you could see. And if you saw anything at all, any movement, you were supposed to, you had a, it wasn't a telephone, but it was a hollow pipe. What do they call it? You know what I mean.
Like a megaphone?
No, a hollow pipe.
Just a hollow pipe back.
Just a voice tube.
Yeah, voice tube. That's what. All they had to do was give you a number. Each one had a number, and you just have to holler in that and give you a number. And the guy on top with the big telescope could and knew that area, and he could get a sight on it right away. If it was some little thing of a bottle floating or something, other, anything you saw, you were supposed to signal. And I signaled several times, and I had to do that.
Could be a barrel floating or something, anything.
Yeah.
But they had more powerful ones to identify.
Yeah, they had more powerful ones, and they could tell you just what it was.
But that way they could see
what do they call it?
Submarine, you mean a periscope?
Yeah. They could see this thing coming in time to get out of its way.
Oh, a torpedo.
Torpedo, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, they want to look out for torpedoes in torpedo zone.
Oh.
If they saw a torpedo coming, and they knew it soon enough, you see, or they knew it, they couldn't change, the torpedo couldn't change its course. After they turned loose, it came straight, and they could dodge it then. But I don't think that our ship saw a torpedo, as far as I know. I would have known it, I'm sure, because my group were guard all the time, the Marines.
Well, how could you see a torpedo underneath the water?
It makes sense.
No, they...
Foamy wake.
Air bubbles
forming on the propeller.
Yeah, well, how far under the ground does it, under the surface of the sea, does it ride?
Most of the older ones in those days were what's called close running. Mm-hmm. They run close to the surface, so they're easy. But nowadays they have deep running torpedoes, and they have guidance systems, so they're far more easy.
Yeah, but these, they knew it had to go straight once it was released.
Yeah, they were shallow running torpedoes.
So, I don't think on our trip that we ever saw a torpedo.
I don't remember.
I don't remember that one was reported. And I probably would have known, because I was the Marines were all on guard. There were about a couple hundred Marines and a couple thousand soldiers on the ship, or maybe more. I don't know. But under the Marines were used to guard.
Were you considered more highly trained? Well, you were enlisted.
Marines belonged to the Navy.
You were old.
Marines as a branch of the Navy.
That's right. I see. So they felt free to.
Let me tell you this. Coming home. How was that sound? Yeah. Coming home after the war was over, there was several thousand soldiers and about 200 or 300 Marines, maybe. A couple hundred Marines, something like that. They announced that the Marines couldn't go ashore. You got to stay, it was the Navy, you know, and you got to stay and help clean up ship. So we weren't permitted to go ashore.
You mean mean when you got back to the States?
When we, as we were coming into Hoboken, so Marines were told, you're not going to be permitted to go ashore. So when we pulled in then and got tied up, here came a Marine sergeant from Quantico. And Marine sergeant is dressed up, looks like somebody, you know, they are dressed up.